إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, we spoke about the importance of building our ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and using Ramadan al-Kareem as a springboard for that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us Ramadan with some special situations, special conditions. The shayateen are chained. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the reward of deeds. Every fard deed is rewarded 70 times. Every nafil is rewarded at the level of the fard and so on and so forth. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah prescribed fasting itself, which is an aid to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Allah said this is for the, so that you may become muttaqoon. So all of these things together are things which help us to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become, to build our ta'alluq with Allah. Now, the essence of the ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his dhikr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the people who dhikr and the people who make dhikr. The zakirin have been mentioned in the Quran many times, several times. But one specific place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned people who make dhikr, Allah called them al-ulil al-bab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, who are they? Alladhina yadhkurun Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim. So one of the conditions, not all the conditions, well, because Allah gave another condition, but one of the conditions and the first condition, it's important to understand, it's not only one of the conditions, it's also the first condition of the al-ulil al-bab, people of intelligence, people of understanding, is that they make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing, sitting and lying down. And this is the beauty of the bayan of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning these things as the standing, sitting and lying down is the entire life of the human being. It is the condition of the human being who is either standing, sitting or lying down. So يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقَعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ does not reflect a specific wird or a specific wazifa or a specific repetition of certain things at certain times of the day. It refers to remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24 hours of the day. Continuously, every waking moment, the person is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing is the issue of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean? Does it mean a repeating of the names and sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Does it mean salah? Does it mean tilawat al-Quran? Yes, it means all of those things. But in addition to that, it means being aware of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives, in every dealing, in every aspect of our life. So if I am dealing with a customer, I am dealing with a customer aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me, Allah is here. And that's why I always relate this to the hadith of Ihsan, hadith Jibreel, where the description of Ihsan, where Jibreel asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam what the meaning of Ihsan, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَنْتَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَانَّكَ تَرَى فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُمْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَكْ أَوْ كُمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ وَالسَّلَامُ. He said Ihsan is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see him, and though you cannot see him, know that he sees you. Now with the extension of this, because in the it was the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that everything that he was asked about, he described it in the context of salah. Because salah, the sahaba considered salah, and it is a fact that salah is the head of the matter, that is the principal matter. And therefore, if the salah is correct, then the whole life becomes correct. Unfortunately, we have reduced salah to a meaningless ritual that some perform and some don't even do that. Right? So you just go to the masjid or you do some two rakat of salah and you think that my job is over, I have finished my salah. This is our misfortune. The salah was supposed to be something which was a meter for us to judge our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala minimum 5 times a day. So from Salatul Fajr, I have a good connection, alhamdulillah. When I come to Salatul Dhuhr, is my connection the same? Or has it weakened? What has happened to the connection? This was the purpose of Salah. And therefore, the effect of Salah is supposed to be felt in the rest of our lives. So, an ta'bud Allah kaanna ka tara is something to be applied in the rest of the life, to say that worship Allah as if you can see Him. So, therefore, deal with your customer as if you can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there, present, looking and seeing what you are doing. Deal with your spouse, your wife, your husband as if you can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. Know that Allah is seeing you in this particular interaction. Deal with your children, deal with whatever we do in life. Somebody is angry, how do I respond? I respond to him as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now watching me. So do I use the same foul language? Do I use just because that person is behaving in a bad manner, should I also respond in a bad manner? What must I do? This must be extended into our entire life. This is the essence of yazkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim. The zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, standing, sitting and lying down. So it refers to the specific awrad and so forth, but also, and even more importantly, it refers to this constant awareness of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. Now, if we do this, what is the benefit? There are two major benefits of this. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of whatever else might be there, the two major benefits of this constant awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First and most importantly, this constant awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives keeps us free and protected from sin. Today, we have considered and we have taken sin to be a normal thing. Normal thing. Yesterday, somebody came here and asked me, he said, I have come to ask you for some help for my daughter's wedding. And mashallah, I know the person. So, he has got a topi and kurta and big beard and everything else. So, I said, you want help for your daughter's wedding? I said, why do you want help for your daughter's wedding? Islam did not put any burden on you for your daughter's wedding, right? If you have a daughter, what is the burden on you? There is no burden, zero burden. First of all, you are not responsible as the father to ensure that she is married. This is a Hindu custom we have taken. Islam didn't put this responsibility on you. Your responsibility is to make sure your daughter is married. This is not from Islam. Your responsibility is to ensure that your daughter is brought up properly, meaning as a muttaqi, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by all means teach her skills and so on and so forth, teach her good manners, teach her akhlaq. Not a question of getting him. That's first of all not even your responsibility. Second thing is, if you have a daughter, what's the responsibility? Responsibility is on the man, meaning the groom, the prospective groom. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you are capable of getting married, meaning if you are financially capable of getting married, then he said, go and make a proposal to somebody who has a daughter. And if the proposal is accepted, pay mahar, marry her, give a walima, take her home. Finished. Right? What is the job of the father? Go to the walima. That is it. Where is the burden on the girl's side? There is no burden, zero burden. We have taken these customs from everywhere. I have to get my daughter married. So everyone is living in great tension all his life. I have to get her. So daughter is seen now as a major nuisance, big burden on me. I have got three daughters. Oh my God. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you have three daughters, you get Jannah. We are saying, if I have three daughters, I will get Jahannam in this world. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. So I told him, why are you worried about this? So he tells me, kya kar raha sahab, mahol waisi chhe. To main bola, mahol badalne ko bheje aapko ya mahol mein ghulne ko bheje? Main bola, mahol jhoot ka bhi hai, jhoot jaiz hoga. Mahol rishwat ka bhi hai, wo bhi rishwat jaiz ho gai. Zinakari ka mahol hai, wo jaiz ho gai. Juwe ka mahol hai, jaiz ho gai. Sudi karobar ka mahol hai, jaiz hoga. क्या माहौल है? You are saying, no, the society is like that. So Allah sent you to change the society, or did Allah send you to become part of the society? I said, the society is a society of lying and cheating and gambling and dealing in interest and prostitution and all kinds of filth and nonsense. So all this now becomes jaiz in Islam. To say, what can I do? After all, I have to do this because this is the mahol. Can you say this? Mahol is nothing. Forget mahol. We have been changed. We have been sent to change the mahol. This is the meaning of yazkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim. If a Muslim lives saying, my Rabb is with me, he will change the mahol. If he lives saying, I don't know where my Rabb is, let me deal with this mahol, then he will become part of the mahol. So the presence of a Muslim is doing no benefit to society. The Muslim is as filthy and dirty and corrupt as anybody else. That is what we are seeing today. And this is what must change. And the way it will change is if you take a stand and say, I don't care, you like it or don't like it. This is the situation. This is haq. And I will speak the haq and I will stand on the haq, whether anyone likes it or not, whether it is convenient or not, whether anyone thinks I'm a good person or a bad person, doesn't matter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to see if you are a good person or a bad person. The popularity of people is absolutely total, utter rubbish. Makes no difference. Whether you are popular or unpopular makes zero difference. You become popular or unpopular by being popular with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he likes a person, he causes, I'm giving you the hadith in brief, he causes your love and your respect to be established in the hearts of the people and the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want to be loved and respected, you straighten your line with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's enough. Don't chase people. If you are true with Allah, people will chase you. So the first benefit of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is keeps you safe from sin because you are aware of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sin is a very serious matter. It's not something small. It debilitates you. It takes away your energy. It drains you. It weakens you. So this is the first benefit. Second benefit of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives and dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is it gives you confidence. Like yesterday I said, the definition of confidence of a Muslim is what? Not confidence in myself as in my self-esteem and I am this, I am the king. No. A Muslim's confidence is my connection with my Rabb Jalla Jalal. Do I have wealth? I don't have wealth. So am I poor? No, I'm not poor. Why am I not poor? Because I have the key to the treasure of my Rabb Jalla Jalalu. How can I be poor? It's not in my pocket. It's Allah's treasure. But when I want it, I can take it. If you want it, I will take it and give it to you also. This is the state of every Muslim. It's not for me. Every single Muslim. This is our situation as it can be. This was the situation of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhi Majmain. This was the situation of the Anbiya Alayhi Musalam. So confidence that my Rabb Jalla Jalal who is with me. I gave you the example yesterday of Musa Alayhi Salam standing in the darbar of Firaun. No fear. No fear. And Musa Alayhi Salam knows Ramesses the Fourth better than anybody else because he was brought up in his court, in his palace as his son. So he knows the inside out of the whole story. But he's not afraid. Why is he not afraid? He's not foolhardy. It's not that he doesn't understand the danger. Sometimes people are not afraid because they don't know they should be afraid. Right? Somebody sent me a video yesterday of one of the big prides of lions in Kruger Park. A very famous pride. They are all across the road. Sitting there and people are leaning out of their car windows and taking photographs. That is the most insane thing that you can possibly do. It's a very nasty way of dying. But so they are not brave. They are just stupid. So we are saying here, we are not talking about somebody who is stupid. We are talking about somebody who knows the entire system so well, but he is not afraid because he says, this is all cobwebs. My Rabb is with me, Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me. This was the confidence with which Rasulullah sallallahu and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, when they are in the cave and the enemy is standing at the mouth of the cave, what does Nabi sallallahu say? Inna Allah ma'ana. He did not say a camouflage is good. They cannot look down. Really, he could have said all that, no? They are not in. It doesn't mean that they did not hide. Doesn't mean that they stood there and say, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can put curtains before the eyes of people, and there are many such incidents, not only in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but with many people. But the point here is that adopting material means does not mean you have left Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The material means you adopt because this is part of this life. But you have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, and the presence of Allah is so strong in your life, you say, Inna Allah ma'ana. Verily, my Rabb is with us. Yeah, this is also the maqam and the martaba of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say, my Rabb is with me. The same conversation with Musa alayhi salam and his people, Musa alayhi salam said, my Rabb is with me. He did not say, my Rabb is with all of us, no. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inna allaha ma'ana. He said, verily Allah is with us. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam included him as, and that's the martaba and the position of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, because he is the only one who has that. That particular position and that particular time with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the ghar. So therefore I want to conclude by reminding myself anew that the benefit of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, number one, protection and freedom from sin, and number two, confidence, supreme confidence, because I have confidence in my Rabb Jalla Jalalu. Not myself. I have confidence in my Rabb Jalla Jalalu, who is with me, insha'Allah al-Musta'an. And the only way to assure that is to do the first, which is make sure that you feel His presence in your life. Meaning that obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu completely, unconditionally, without question. That obedience is what brings the confidence. If you are not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can you have confidence? You are already breaking the rules. So where is the confidence? So if you are not breaking the rules, you are standing for the rules, you are living your life by the rules, then inshallah al-Mustan, this confidence is completely justified. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to become and to be among the zakirin, and to give us the benefits of those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to those who remember Him constantly, and make Allah make us among those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.